What could be more urgent for you or momentous for you than to know where you stand in relation to God and what he says to you in this verse?
And now a sermon from South Highland Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Established in 1888, South Highland has a rich history and tradition of sound Bible teaching in our historic sanctuary. Listen now to the word from South Highland.
Well, today I want to speak about the most famous verse in the Bible, or at least in my thinking, and I am unanimous in that. Some of you may think that this is a simple message, and that's okay. I think sometimes we as preachers want to be erudite and profound and sometimes get confused in the process or certainly confuse others. But this love story, this greatest love story, is simple and yet is profound at the same time. I love the context where Jesus is meeting with Nicodemus, who comes to him at night. By the way, one time I heard a speaker at an evangelism conference telling us that the first time he preached on this passage, he preached on Nicodemus. Everyone laughed, and he said, "Don't laugh." 12 people accepted the Lord after that message. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night, and perhaps he did not want to be seen by the Sanhedrin, so he came under the cloud of darkness. And so he came to Jesus and said, "I know that you're a man of God, the things that you do." And Jesus cuts to the quick and more or less says, you know, "Hey, you've got to be born again. You have to be born from above to have eternal life." And so went back and forth, talked about the spirit and the wind. Nicodemus was wondering at first, how do you go back into your mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus sought to explain to him about that. But it is a most profound story. And interestingly enough, later on, Nicodemus is one who we believe was converted and helped to bury Jesus after his crucifixion. I love John 3:16. It's been an important part of my life ever since I was a child. The first verse I learned in preschool was, "God is love." And that's one thing that a preschooler can remember. But then, as a junior in Sunday school, I learned and memorized John 3:16. And I've memorized it the rest of my life, and it's been with me and been a great help to me. I used to love to see John 3:16 signs at football games and at conferences and concerts and, you know, press releases. I mean, all kinds of events that the sign turned. You don't see it as much these days, but I thought it was a good thing. As I learned to love it as a child, and it goes something like this. In the King James Version, anybody here remember memorizing the King James Version? Okay, yes. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so that text has been important to me, both as a child, as an adolescent, as a college student, and certainly as a pastor over the years, to know that God's love has always been there for me. How wonderful that has been. But this morning I want to ask the question, what does it all really mean? And what could be more urgent for you or momentous for you than to know where you stand in relation to God and what he says to you in this verse? It has been described as the gospel in a nutshell, and for very good reason. It tells us many different things. I want to share with you 7 things that this verse tells us. First, it tells us about the source of the gospel, which is God. "For God so loved." There is no reason to think that Jesus means any other God than the God of the Old Testament. We just heard from Psalm 107 about he's a God of love. He is the all-powerful creator The sustainer of the universe, he is personal and not a mere force, meaning he thinks and wills and feels. He loves and he hates. And as personal, he is moral and totally righteous. This good news comes from the holy, righteous, almighty creator of the universe, the one who created each one of us and set it all in motion. The source of the gospel is God. Second, it tells about the sentiment of the gospel. God so loved. God loved with a mighty love, a perfect love, an unfailing love, a love that is like a golden thread that runs all through the Bible. Presbyterian scholar Shirley Guthrie writes in his excellent book, Christian Doctrine, quoting 1 John 4:8, God is love. He makes these comments. He says, God is not sometimes loving and sometimes unloving. Today, loving some people and hating others, and perhaps tomorrow changing sides to love those who were previously loved in everything. And God does always, in dealing with all people, God loves. He's a loving God. But who did he love? Well, thirdly, this verse tells us of the scope of the gospel. For God so loved the world. The most common meaning for world in John is the created and fallen totality of mankind, humanity. And it doesn't take long for us to see that in our world today, a world that is very dark, a world that is stained with sin. And we live in a fallen world where there is sin and there's sickness and there's disease. The Bible talks about the rain falling on the just and the unjust, and sometimes we're caught in the crossfire, or so it seems. So it's important for us to understand that God loved the world. And so John 7:7 tells us, the world cannot hate you. This is Jesus speaking, but it hates me because I testify about it that its works are evil. John 14:17, Jesus speaking about the Spirit, says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. And so why are we so surprised many times when unbelievers don't act like Christians? I mean, it's important that we act like Christians, right? If Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Yes, God so loved the world, the whole wide world, and everyone in it, the young and the old, the rich and the poor, the good and the bad. He loved the entire population of the planet. Despite the fact that every person has broken his law and disobeyed his commandments and has fallen short of his glory, he still loves. God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And all through the Bible, do a search sometime on and see how many times we are told about the love of God. So God so loved the world, but how did he love it? Well, fourth, it tells of the sacrifice of the gospel. In John 1:1, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So here we are introduced to the Word, and of course, Logos, Jesus is the Word. So one, he is God, the Word was God. Two, he is with God and therefore distinct from God. And third, he was therefore always in existence and never came to be. In the beginning was the Word. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. He gave a gift from heaven, Jesus, that he sent to earth. And it is a giving not just to come to earth, but to come for the express purpose to die. Imagine that. Verse 17 replaces the word give with send. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So the giving of verse 16 is God sending his Son into the world on a mission from heaven. So God gave his only begotten Son. He sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. He gave him up to a horrific death on the cross, where he would shed his precious blood, and he gave his perfect life as a sacrifice for sin. And Jesus also says in verse 14 that just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness on a pole so that the people, the Israelites, could be healed, he said, so the Son of Man is lifted up. And of course, he would be lifted up on a cross. And all who look to him will be saved. This is a promise of God's word. Now, all of us were made by this God, and our first and highest duty is to honor him and give him glory and give him thanks. But the reality is that we all have failed. And a loving God offers forgiveness to all people. All guilty people like us today. In fact, in 2 Peter we read that God wills that none should perish, but that all, and I am one who believes that all means all, but all, that all should come to repentance. But how does one claim this forgiveness that God offers to all guilty people like us today? Well, fifthly, John 3:16 tells us about the simplicity of the gospel, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Whoever believes in him by simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the one who died for us, who secured our salvation, that we can claim God's offer for forgiveness today. We repent of our sin. We receive Christ's free gift of salvation through what he has done. And it's very important to understand that Jesus said, unless we become like a child, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And what that means is simple faith, simple trust. You know, we as adults get so tangled up in our lives and in the world and in work and everything else, and our minds, our intellect, so hard sometimes to humble ourselves and become like a child and trust God simply as Jesus tells us to do. Very simple, to believe. The thief hanging on the cross believed that Jesus was who he said he was, and that's all he did. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. He wasn't baptized. He didn't attend Bible studies. He didn't speak in tongues. He didn't do a lot of things that people think are so needful and important. He simply believed in Jesus, that he was who he said he was. So we can claim God's offer for forgiveness. Six from this verse tells us about the seriousness of the gospel. Will not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. Our response to the good news is serious business. It is a difference between perishing in hell or living in paradise forever. I am one who believes in a literal hell. I think that the Bible teaches that. It's there. You can't ignore it. You can't run away from it. I don't understand everything about it, but I do know that anyone who will come to faith in Christ and confess their sin will be able to go to heaven. So why wouldn't we make that choice? It's important. It is not helpful when we refuse God's love, when we hold back from Him, and we reject Him. That is really what the Bible means by the unpardonable sin, rejecting Christ. Well, let me ask you, is this your life? Which leaves just one question. Do you live in the forgiveness and life and freedom of John 3:16? Are you free from the fear of death? Jesus said, don't fear those who can kill the body, but those who can destroy the soul. Does the wonder of being loved like this shape your relationships? I'm not asking if you give lip service to this verse, but do you live it? Is this your life? Is everything you do permeated with this verse? God grant us that we can do that, that we can receive the treasure of Christ in life. But remember that we are not saved just for ourselves so we can go our merry way and live our lives. No, we are saved for a purpose, and we are loved for a purpose. And that is so that we can emphatically love other people. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Remember, Jesus said to the disciples, no longer do I call you servants, but friends. And he wants our friendship as well. And he deserves his lordship in our serving him. I can tell you this, that 4 years ago, I had the experience of going to North India. And it was in line with Frontier Fellowship. Cody Watson was supposed to go with me, and Cody had surgery and wasn't able to go. So I went on my own. Imagine that. So it was quite a trek and quite an experience. Just before COVID, I got home just in the nick of time. But while I was there, I had the opportunity to meet Punraj and MK, two great leaders. I didn't meet Chandon. He was in America at the time. We've had exposure with him as well. I was so impressed by the work that they do. And while I was there, I had the opportunity to teach MK's 75 leaders about grief ministry. And you know, when I finished, they regurgitated back to me what I taught them, which is really cool. I was able to go to a class in a school and teach teenage children there about evangelism and what that means. And so in North India, in the district of Bihar, in the city of Patna where I was, for 20 years, Punraj, I went to his 70th birthday party, and they had all these posters about the thousands, and I think it was actually some millions, I think, who came to faith in Christ through his ministry over those 20 years. Now, they didn't minister to just everybody. I guess they did, but especially to the Musahar. And they are the lowest of the low. They are the dregs of society. They're called the rat people and are totally disregarded. And I don't think they have any place in the caste system as far as I understand. But many of these people are coming to faith. And it's such a massive number of people in India. And just scratching the surface, really, even though William Carey went there so many years ago, 1793. And so the people there in desperate need of the gospel. And Frontier Fellowship is on the cutting edge with unreached people groups. And they are there all over the world, different places. So we need to pray for them, support them. So great that work that Cody did there and now Jim's doing with the organization. So organizations like this set the example for us. There are people around us who don't know the Lord. There are people around us who don't know the gospel. They don't know the good news of Jesus. They know a lot of bad news. So we have an opportunity to share with them what Christ has done in our lives. And I don't think it's a choice. I think it's a command. One time Jesus said, go out into the hedges and the highways and compel them to come into my house that it may be full. So yes, John 3:16 is the greatest love story of all. And my prayer is that each one of us will know that love firsthand. And if you don't know the Lord, that you will open your heart today and receive him. And that in the process, we will bring glory to God in the way that we love others. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to The Word from South Highland. Be sure to subscribe so you can take these messages along with you anywhere, anytime. For more information about our church, visit southhighland.org. We'll see you next time.